The Burt Block Party will be rocking downtown Winnipeg again this summer, featuring Blue Rodeo with Skydiggers, Arkells and Guests July Talk, Headstones with I, Mother Earth, Tom Cochran with Streetheart and Sass Jordan, and so much more. Join the party downtown for the best outdoor concerts of the summer. Daily tickets and four-day passes on sale now at Ticketmaster. For more info, visit burtblockparty.ca.
What is up, everybody? This is Big McEnroe, a.k.a. Rod Bailey. This is Peanuts and Corn 30th Anniversary Podcast. We're on episode 36, and today we're talking about the 23rd release on Peanuts and Corn Records, PNC024. That is McEnroe's Billy's Vision. This is an instrumental record that I made. It was released on Peanuts and Corn in 2002. Fall of 2002, but it was a reissue because I recorded it in 1999. I recorded it for a man named Andrew Hunter, an artist who had commissioned me to make a soundtrack to an art exhibit he had called Billy's Vision. He made a story, a book about Billy's Vision, and that was the story of an alien that comes to Earth and sort of leaves clues about his identity in the prairies, and he ended up having an exhibit at the Mendel Gallery in Saskatchewan. Andrew had moved to Winnipeg and had heard about Peanuts and Corn. So he had started to talk to me about doing some art installations. We actually did a really fun show out at a place he managed in St. Norbert, I think it was. We had this really fun show with Andrew Hunter. And then he approached me about this Billy's Vision project. He said, I want you to make an instrumental record as a soundtrack to this exhibit I'm doing. And so, and he had a book. So he showed me the book. I made the music. And then he released it, his book with the CD, as its own kind of release through the Mendel Gallery. And so we released, I think, 500 or 1,000 copies. I ended up selling a good chunk of them myself. And then once those sold out, we reissued it on Peanuts and Corn. So PNC 023 is a bit of a reissue and a bit of a jump in time. As far as making this record, I had already made an instrumental record in my career called Emissions, which was more supposed to be jazz hop. I was listening at that time to like a lot of Grey Boy and a lot of, you know, hip hop meets jazz, new jazz kind of styles. But for Billy's Vision, it's supposed to be more of a soundtrack. And I remember having a friend named Joel in a band called, he was in a bunch of bands. One was called Skingerbread Man, but he was in some other band and he was able to hook me up with a real Rhodes electric piano. And so he or someone he knew lent me this Rhodes electric piano, and Andrew Hunter gave me money to make the soundtrack. And I went out and I bought an ADAT and what was called an ADAT sort of studio starter kit of some kind. It was an ADAT with all the cables and a mixer. I think I bought a microphone and a stand, and I made this instrumental record. It was the first record I made with the ADAT that I owned. Very exciting thing. So I think I would have made it sometime after Fermented Reptile, but before Park Like Setting. So it probably falls in what it should really be in PNC 011, but it's been reissued. So let's check out a track. So what I did here was I just sort of jammed, made these loops, and then built the loops up with little bits of instrumental stuff, samples, scratching, soundtracks. Let's have a listen, and then I can get into some more detail. Thank you. All right, so that is track two from Billy's Vision. One thing that I did not do is name these tracks. So basically, there are 14 tracks, and it's all Untitled 1, Untitled 2, all the way to Untitled 14. So that's Untitled 2. That particular track is a lot, like a lot of them, where I would probably start with a drum beat that I made on the computer. I bought a Macintosh somewhere in 98, and I started making beats with that. So I would have made a drum beat and then start jamming to the drum beat with the electric piano and did probably three or four different tracks of electric piano. You could hear the bass line is electric piano, the main keys are electric piano. And then once I had that laid down as sort of just a basic beat, I would try to add some stuff, whether it was talking or scratching or other ambient stuff from records. So that particular record, I don't know what the record was. It was like some kind of... I think it was a Chinese chanting thing. But if you recognize it, it's because you can hear part of that same sound in the movie Blade Runner. They use that same little bit of singing or that a little bit of that chunk. So I did not sample the Blade Runner soundtrack. I don't think it's on it. But it's the same thing that was used in Blade Runner. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know if I knew that at the time when I put that down. So, yeah, that's kind of the concept of the record. And what does happen a lot on the record is, you know, in an effort to make the songs have more stuff, I'd either play records and try to fill it up with ambient sounds and or scratch things. Or I also went to the video store. There's a video store. I forget what it was called, but it was I lived on Corydon Avenue or I lived actually on McMillan Avenue just off Corydon in 99. And I was living alone on McMillan, and so I set up a studio in my living room of McMillan, and down Corydon Avenue was this little obscure kind of video shop, very small, and you could rent all this weird stuff. And so I think I went there one week or one night and just got six of the weirdest VHS tapes I could find and then went through them all and sampled as much of them as I could. So throughout the record, there's some stuff about aliens and alien abduction, which was obviously something I was looking for because of the concept from Andrew Hunter, the Billy's Vision concept. Also just, you know, like I'll play a song later, but there's a sample of an Orson Welles story from, I'm not sure which Orson Welles movie it was, a story about the scorpion and the frog, that kind of thing. So just trying to find little bits, and some of it can be quite disjointed. So I think one of the things about this record is it has moments that I like, but it's also extremely random. And there's some stuff that is just did not need to even be released. It's kind of it's a bit of a mess, this record. I think it was like, you know, Andrew had asked me to make this record. I had a time period when I was supposed to make it, which was to finish sometime in early January of 2000. So I was working on it late 99 and into 2000. I was supposed to deliver it and get it done. And so pretty much any and every idea that I had to start this record would become either an interlude or a song. So it does tend to be a little bit random where there's certain songs that, you know, I'm sampling things and nothing seems to be related to it. Self. Let's see if I can give you an example here. Let's listen to the track Untitled 6. So this is more of an interlude. It's basically, if I had a full idea or a beat I really liked, I would extend it to, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, like the first song, Untitled 2, which is one of my favorites on the record. Then if I had a half idea, I would still use it because I needed to finish this record. But this is an example of a half idea, like it's a kind of a half fast beat where not that much happens, and then a bunch of samples that don't have anything to do with each other. So let's check this out. This is Untitled 6.
I'm afraid, Jerry. This business tonight, I kind of opened my eyes. I'm thinking about that, George.
They set up new product corporations, they have sales promotion firm, and they look at the invention in a business-like way.
Wholly useless when it comes to spreading the benefits of our great and occidental civilization, the benighted of the world, or even for working within to improve the system we have so carefully constructed to be maximally effective in preserving our way of perceiving the world.
You might find yourself suffering a greater or lesser distortion of your visual and auditory perceptions. A minute might seem like an hour. Music might sound strangely beautiful. You might feel disembodied, boundless, spinning helplessly through space in free fall. Every atom of your being ringing with sweet joy. So watch it, kids. Life is serious business. Don't waste time on weird kicks.
So that's Untitled 6. So I had like this little piece of bass. I looped it, put in these drums, played some electric piano, and then put random bits of dialogue. The first is from some movie, some kind of noirish movie from probably the 40s or 50s. Then you've got like these anti-corporate records. You've got a Bob Newhart record. Rest in peace, Bob Newhart. He just passed away. You know, just a little random, just a little bit like a jam sandwich kind of thing. Not sure what the point of that is. I remember sending it to Andrew and he just loved it. Like the point was Andrew Hunter asked me to make this record for him. And he was just a really fun, enthusiastic person, really liked what we were doing and was just a, you know, a really cool, fun guy. And so when I sent him the finished product, he was just super excited about it. And what he did with the record, I mentioned that he put a book out and that we sold copies of the record before we reissued it on Peanuts and Corn. But also the record played at the Mendel Gallery kind of on a loop in part of the gallery, and he had a whole sculpture with this little shack that this Billy Vitt character supposedly lived in with these paintings on the wall and all this kind of stuff. It was super cool. So I went out for the opening in Saskatoon. Our good friends, So-So, a.k.a. Troy Grosdale, who I believe is still at the Mendel or was at the Mendel for many years. And Epic was there. Shout out to Epic. So the Saskatoon homies were in the house. Oh, Joss Ives was there. And they hung out and checked out this exhibit that Andrew Hunter did and with my music playing. Did I DJ that night? I don't think I DJed. I think I just went and checked it out. I can't remember. I do have some photos from that event at the Mendel Gallery in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, sometime in early 2000. And I remember it being winter. It must have been because I moved to Vancouver in June or July of 2000. So it would have been before I moved to Vancouver. So yeah, we'll share some photos of that and some of the pictures from the book because the visual aspect of this particular project was really cool. And Andrew did a bunch of little books. I still have them all somewhere. He gave me all the stuff for inspiration. So shout out to him. Let's check out another track. This is my favorite track on the record. This is called Untitled 10. And the reason I like this track is because I love the main keyboard part. And how that part came about was I must have rented a Quadriverb or bought a Quadriverb. So back in the day, I was an Alesis ahead where I would get an ADAT and a Quadriverb as an effect rack. So I was playing around with whatever preset on the Quadriverb where you play a note and it comes back pitched up and down. And so you hit whatever note and it goes da na 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 da 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 na 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 da na 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 da na 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 na. Pretty simple, but when it comes back, it was kind of beautiful when you played a nice, genuine Rhodes electric piano into this. And so that's where this riff came from. I'm not playing every single note. I'm actually only playing one note, and then it's all bouncing back on this effect thing with the pitch shift up and down. So let's listen to track 10. You could tell I love this track because it's really long. Nothing happens. And it's about 5 minutes long of just the beat kind of rocking with the bass line, with the drums. And then I've got some scratching going on. Pretty basic track, but really something I do really like. And I think it holds up pretty well. So let's check it out. Untitled 10. Okay, that is Untitled 10. I said it's my favorite track on the record. It's also probably the longest track, maybe not. The longest track is track 12, which I was going to play, but it's too long. It's basically kind of an okay beat with a whole bunch of conspiracy theorist type, which is probably one of those VHSs I got from the video store down the street, talking about alien abductions and also talking about how the human brain operates at the same frequency as the cell phone towers, and that the cell phone towers are all set up to do mind control. That's what that track's about. It goes on and on. I was going to play it, but I don't need to play it, because then when I heard tracks 13 and 14, I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot that I asked my friend Dominique Reynolds. So a good friend, her sister is a really good friend of mine and my wife's. And so when I was making this record, I think I had seen Dominique play with her band, and I was like, can you come into the studio to my place and just listen to these beats and just sing some wordless kind of singing? And she came in and did it for the last couple of tracks, which I think really added a whole lot. And when I was listening to this record, I was like, oh my goodness, I completely forgot that I had Dominique Reynolds on one of my records, and it was really fun to do. And fun to work with her. So let's check out this. This is track 13, Untitled 13. This is McEnroe from Billy's Vision, but this features Dominique Reynolds. That's a very chunky sounding 3/4 beat that I made. The drums that I was making in this period of time are very distinct sounding, where I was chopping up these drums, but I didn't really have the natural sound coming yet, if I ever did, but especially not at this time. So this is the time of Ethics EP, Billy's Vision, Fermented Reptile, and then finally Park Like Setting. This is kind of that era with a very specific production style where I first got a computer and started making beats. So I made that beat and, you know, pounded out a riff on the... Sounds like there's some bass guitar in there. Sounds like there's some Rhodes piano like there is on every single track. And then I had Dominique Reynolds come in and lace the track, did some filter on it, did some echo on it. Sounds great. She sounds great. She's on the next track, Untitled 14, as well. She sounds great on that as well. So it was really fun to re-listen to this record. It's a very uneven record if you listen to it all. There's some stuff that could have easily been left out. But I said I would make a full record for Andrew Hunter, and I did. Reissued it in 2002, and then went through it today with you. It was fun. So there you go. That is Billy's Vision for you. Next week, I have the honor and privilege of talking to both Pipskid and Bazooka Joe 204 for the project called Hip Hop Wieners, All Beef, No Chicken. A very, very fun record. It's going to be impossible to figure out what four tracks to listen to. I'm going to get those guys to send me some clips and some memories. I've already got a few from Joe. It is going to be awesome. What a fun record that is. So that's going to be next week. Until then, I thank you very much for listening and liking and subscribing. And thank you very much. Good night. What's going on, everybody? This is Big McEnroe, a.k.a. Rod Bailey. This is the Peanuts and Corn 30th Anniversary Podcast. And today we are on episode 35, talking about PNC 24, which is John Smith's High Arctics. It came out in 2003. It's a 7-inch single. We decided to do a series of 7-inch singles, but unfortunately it was the second and final 7-inch in the series, the first one being Pipskid's Money Matters. So my plan was to do a series of 7-inch singles and spend a bunch of money. We did Pipskid Money Matters. We did John Smith High Arctics, both records that I'm really excited about. I really love making and listening to. And then the next one was going to be a Gruff one and then a McEnroe one. But it started to get hard to fund the vinyl for us in 2003, 2004. And unfortunately, we did not continue the 7-inch series. It was short-lived. However, it was really good to make this particular recording. John Smith, a.k.a. Joe Campari, wrote some really interesting songs. So this was the first record he did solo after his solo album of Blunderbuss, which was 2001. To me, this High Arctics represents a step forward for John Smith and his writing and rapping and songwriting. Maybe he doesn't see it exactly the same way I do, but let's have a listen to what Joe thinks about this release.
High Arctics, the title I stole off a sign in the hangar of the airline I worked at up north. Shipments going further north were under these big signs. It would read like Arviet, Whale Cove, High Arctics. And I really like that word combination, High Arctics. You know, this is me leaning into the storytelling that people responded to on Blunderbuss. There's some good stuff and some pretty bad stuff on here. Stylistically, I'm trying to squeeze too many syllables into bars. I really lean into detailing these stories. You know, Makeshift Mattress has this line about, you know, my teacher dusting off a row of toffee. And that's like classic small town Greyhound stop stuff where the candy is so old that it's covered in dust. And then, of course, Makeshift Mattress ends in this parody of Cardinal Official Bacardi slang.
If I make it to your town for the weekend and the sound is decent and I don't end up face down in the precinct, might have the chance to ask what's up with what you bring. Yeah, I need a haircut, cargo thug, boot bang. All my pinker than Poo Tang, shoot straight, budget bugging the Wu-Tang, and pin a Wu-Tang. rolling out Skrilla for Gizzazz. Ask Kyle for his moose horn, I'll say 7 feet from his ass. A quick blast till it's cash behind the gas station. Ditch ash, I'm impatient, holding my back pacing, waiting for buses. It ain't the art that suffers. Your plastic wrap suffers next to the crack puffer beside the puking baby's mother. Who's a crazy brother of the cloth? She shot him a look like get lost. All this I spotted in the bus stop's coffee shop. While my t-shirt dusted a whole row of toffee off. John Smith, of no fixed address. Sleep on a makeshift mattress. Asleep on a makeshift mattress. Of no fixed address. John Smith. Of no fixed address. Asleep on a makeshift mattress. Asleep on a makeshift mattress. Of no fixed address. Making moves, no break bread frontin'. We went headhunting in Edmonton. Nothing to do for a couple afternoons. So we pass the time of crew in Saskatoon. The bathrooms is ugly. Cause that dude shit staring at you like don't flush me. Back in the minivan, trips underway. That sticky can smelled like half a Thunder Bay. In 2001, I went where my group socks took me. And that's how this year should be. Five of us stuffed in a truck, fire ablaze. A choir backing up the drunken Taylor Byra Hayes. And I'm amazed at how these trips were funny. Robbing my way up to none of its tundra presents a conundrum. Whether or not to get souped up, rocking alongside Kim Mitchell and Trooper. John Smith, of no fixed address. I sleep on a makeshift mattress. I sleep on a makeshift mattress. John Smith, of no fixed address. John Smith, of no fixed address. I sleep on a makeshift mattress. I sleep on a makeshift mattress. Toronto. Of no fixed address. I west the flakes and makes national news. From a place where you could die passing out through the booze. Tap and snaps to stay heated, getting so tanked. You freeze sleeping in a snowbank. Some folks are all, no joke, Churchill. Are the polar bears really like in the Coke commercials? I'm so lonely. Can't wait to get back to Manitoba. Split it 12 OV. I'm from Churchill. Now he's Smitty's words. Greatest rapper ever from north of the 53rd. I'm from Churchill. He lost my accent, just covered up so they can't see where my tracks went. Smitty's drinking cold OV and Churchill's drinking cold OV and Smitty's drinking cold OV and Churchill's drinking cold OV and Smitty's drinking cold OV and Churchill's drinking cold OV. Cause nobody drinks their OV hot. John Smith, of no fixed address. I sleep on a makeshift mattress. In Winnipeg. I sleep on a makeshift mattress. John Smith. Of no fixed address. John Smith. Of no fixed address. I sleep on a makeshift mattress. I sleep on a makeshift mattress. Toronto. Of no fixed address.
If you know me and you know my production, then you know I like to let the beat ride, and I almost never finish a song just on the last syllable like that. However, when you're talking about a 7-inch single, you only have 5 minutes per side. And so if you add up the time between the first, there's three songs on this record. The first song is the one you just heard. It's called No Fixed Address. It is 3 minutes and 7 seconds long. Then there's a song, I don't know if we titled it on the 7-inch itself, but we called it Fat Fuck. And it's 1 minute 51 seconds. So if you add that up, it's 4 minutes and 58 seconds. So that's why I had an abrupt ending to No Fixed Address. And then we'll hear the song Wooden Polar Bear, which is 4 minutes 45 seconds. So I could have let that beat ride for 14 more seconds. I really like that song. I always really like the beat a lot. This little chopped half drum beat and this really cool kind of sitar sounding thing with a nice bass line. Probably like an ECM record or something. That's what I was working on. I really like the backup vocals that Joe does where he's talking about a baby, a puking baby or a baby mother or something. And then he does a sound effect of a screaming baby in the background. I might pull that out and make it into a ringtone or a text alert message. It's pretty intense. It's like, when Joe spoke about how he was putting too many syllables in. I don't quite hear it. I thought that he sounded really good on that. And I thought that, like I said, I thought that this 7-inch really represent him smoothing out his style a little bit from Blunderbuss. Certainly, yes, the storytelling continuing. Also just embracing Churchill and where he's from or that portion of his life. I thought was super interesting. I love the art. The art is interesting. Let's get to the next song. So again, I mentioned the second song on side one. I don't think we named it in the album art or on the label, but we called it Ignorant Fat Fuck or just Fat Fuck. Let's check it out. A shorter song with this kind of ill beat. Here we go.
You know this motherfucker. He's loud as fuck, thinks he's got his finger on the pulse, but he's out of touch. Quite cool, but sweat drips off his mealy head. High school graduate, but never really left. A fat fascist lunkhead, an expert who owns the best of Clash record, declaring punk dead. Hating on white kids rhyming in light blue Levi's, so tight they're shining. I'm showing and proving he's miming my movements in a mockery, booing groggily cause he's boozing. I ain't the type to turn cheek, I'm standing right here till I'm old and fat like you, slamming like beers. A bottle's a weapon, your lucky mind's in a plastic cup. I'd let loose a wetting, teach you a music lesson.
Play some good white music like Led Zeppelin.
Step ahead of yourself, said it but don't get it. In my hometown, I won't pass it up. Mr. Know-it-all don't know that much. He got problems, yelling rap sucks. I call him ignorant fat fuck. In my hometown, I won't pass it up. Mr. Know-it-all don't know that much. He got problems, yelling rap sucks. I call him ignorant fat fuck. Fuck. Motherfucker.
All right, that song was untitled, like I mentioned. If you look at the label, it says track two, but it doesn't have a title. So our working title was Fat Fuck, and that's what it's labeled at on my hard drive. And that is John Smith. That is the end of side one of the High Arctic's 7-inch single. Joe didn't send me a clip about that song, so I guess it wasn't something he had anything to say about. So I guess this track speaks for itself. I can't say that... kind of an ill little beat that I put together with some live bass and then that kind of really kind of crazy sounding string, like almost like a harpsichord or something like that. Always did kind of like that beat. It's pretty hard. So moving along, we'll talk about the last song on the record. This song is The Biggest Adventure, a really cool song in my opinion. Cool story. Let's let Joe tell us a little bit about it.
Wooden Polar Bear is obviously the main attraction here. I'm documenting this lucid nightmare. A lot of the details are true. It was my first night back in Churchill, and I was staying in a room where a guy had taken his life with a shotgun, which was pretty fucked up. The Wooden Polar Bear and the massive, brutalist building that it's housed in were a huge part of my childhood. It's all wide concrete ramps, and high ceilings with exposed beams, and there's wall-sized windows everywhere. Perfect setting for a nightmare. I think there's a lot of good stuff in Wooden Polar Bear. It does a great job of building momentum, and then it culminates in this explosion of imagery at the end with me running from the bear with its big 2x4 teeth, and it's just... you know, disintegrating, falling apart in the background as it pursues me.
All right, that's a great description of this track that we're about to hear. I want to thank Joe for taking the time to put those clips together and to reminisce about this 7-inch. I do really love this song. I love how he describes the story and the momentum of the track. I think this is a special one. So let's check this out. This is Wooden Polar Bear, John Smith from the High Arctic 7-inch.
I escaped the orange bubble of the city. Nothing but a duffel bag and my troubles with me.
pilgrimage to the surf spraying foam. This village ain't my birthplace, but it's home. My man Wheels got a truck, we do a roundabout. Found Maddie, gave me keys to his townhouse. I got one thing to tell you. In your room, Bob done himself in with a shotgun. It was quite a few years back. That night with the crew, we knocked quite a few beers back. Asleep on my feet, the pain dwells in my sad slouch. Drowned so many brain cells, another blackout. How I got home, I guess it's as good as mine is. What good's a mind ticking timeless? But before I woke in a daze to wonder, I'd awake to a place amazing slumber. Summer's short, the winter's punishing, so they afford the town center recovering. Developed a skeleton of steel, enveloped in aluminum, with high ceilings. Underneath, white walls of stucco, under feet, expansive ramps, championing concrete. This monolith remained the same through the years, minus the lighting. It was flame blue when I came to, in the hallway of the curling rink, round the corner from the fountain where boys and girls drink. Doors designated men and women, wardrobe before swimming, a couple more for pissing. I'm roaring with instinct, full of fear. I know what's beyond the brink, but could appear. I won't let it find me, I don't dare wait. Started a bolt, then halted at the staircase. Stifled at the foot of the spiral, an eye full of a whiteout, middle of July. The doors to outside won't open, they're frozen shut. Me and whatever it is, I snowed in, stuck in the sprawling city hall. So much space and no stores, like a shitty mall. The pale blue tinted my ascent so vivid, I was painfully lucid and insanely livid. Hospital, I got patched and stitched. In the school, I skipped class and ditched. In the curling rink, I had my first acid trip. In the arena, I got my ass kicked. In this building, abandoned and snow-covered. Theater hadn't changed since it showed Ghostbusters. I wondered, is this monster made up? Like Ray conjuring images that stay puffed? Something wasn't, but should have been over there. The wooden polar bear. The wooden polar bear! A monument to this dominant survivor, about the width of a tank. If not wider, in 3D, 15 feet, if not higher. When it creaks up on its hind legs right behind ya. Head reared, eyes blazing red rum. Concrete cracked back where I fled from. It was tracking me. I better boot it or get chewed up by that mouthful of jagged 2x4s. Like crunch and lunge. I pulled aside, lurched and launched into full stride. It gave chase up and down ramps in a great race. I'm on the lam, it's just trying to save face. It loses shell with every step booming. I'm hoofing with fluent gazelle-like movements till it's drooling, wood chips above me looming. Shockwaves threw me off, we landed in unison. Now I'm standing in glue at the mercy of this half-ruined ruin. When white light shone through the blue dim and scooped me up from under the armpits, I rose into the air without the aid of a harness. The broken bear fell apart to pieces, and I woke in a chair, still wearing my sneakers.
That is Wooden Polar Bear. That is John Smith from High Arctics. A great song, a great 7-inch. We'll share the cover photos on Instagram like we've been doing. Cool pictures that I think are selfies, I want to say. Two pictures from the Churchill area that Joe took. Let me just check the sleeve here while I got you on the line. Let me just check the sleeve. Photo credits. Does not look like we put photo credits. So I'm just reading the Liner notes, it says, "Hi, homies, I dedicate this record to my hometown, Churchill, Manitoba, and all the friends I've made since I left in late 93. As always, I got to thank my mom and Krista, two strong, beautiful women. I'd also like to thank my brother's Pop Wax Museum, the Urban Bakery and his staff, all the DJs who play our music, and my extended families, Herbs and Crumbs, your brother, and Break Bread. Peace, Smitty." Like I said, it is these cool, two cool photos of this shack, I think just on the outskirts of Churchill. But we did not publish photo credits, but I do believe that they were selfies that Joe took the photos himself. So that is High Arctics. That is the 24th release on Peanuts Corn Records. Because it's only a 7-inch, it is not something that fills an entire 30 minutes. So let's find a bonus track. If we go back a little further in the catalog, we can find a track that we recorded for nothing in particular, I think, but we made this track called Psychology Part 2, which was sort of like a sequel to the Park Lake Settings album. Album had all these topics, school topics. And then we were asked to be on a compilation called Grimy Grooves from Legendary Entertainment. Now, I'm a little fuzzy on who Legendary Entertainment was or why we were on this compilation. However, we were, and we did agree to submit a couple of tracks, or at least one track. And so we submitted a track called Psychology Part 2. And I think we ended up using a little bit of this on Factory Seconds, but not the entire track. So here's a track called Psychology Part 2. This is Park Lake Setting. This is John Smith and McEnroe. Let's check it out.
John Smith, McEnroe, Park Lake Setting. Psychology Part 2.
It is not the aim of this record to hypnotize you. Not at all.
I'm almost 22 rings thick. I spit like a camel. And if I ain't sick, then I probably feel like shit. I smoke roaches covered in lint. I should smoke out the window with my palm. Then play some loud music that confuses my mom. As much as me when I'm introduced as John. I'm a needle on a gauge, which jumps between loose and withdrawn. Gain the wherewithal to infuse the calm. Still, I'm an arm length away from paroxysm. More often than I'd like to admit. And I can't decide whether I'm weak or strong for the way I do or do not deal with it. It's silent curses or violent outbursts. The staring contest between headlights and deer. Reaction rehearsed or whatever came first. Was the punch pulled or was it frozen by fear?
I feel inadequate, I've had it with the world and all the fools that inhabit it. The half-wit rules, the tools of the trade became the fake smile. The handshake firm, the perm, the plastic surgery. Fast tracking to the front of the line in the emergency room. For the hernia grease in the palm of the nurse working the reception. Of corruption and deception have been the story of Homo erectus since inception. I need protection from the youth movement, not soothing to know that the grooving is getting the way of moving the human race towards evolution. The solution is not a savior when evil is elemental in all of our behavior. But they tell me that the problem is in my mind. Examine me to find an explanation for aggression. Send me to a session with the certified of the psychological profession. Are you kidding? When you recommend a mixture of Ritalin, Prozac, vitamin D. It's you who are the blind and I who truly see. Don't need my attitude adjusted chemically. It's you who are the blind and I who truly see.
Basically, we're concerned with measurement and manipulation of human behavior at all levels. Things like peer group adaptability and anxiety, catharsis, and hypnotic suggestion.
The couch, spill my guts out. I doubt the weekly therapy will ever give me clarity. I know they laugh at me when I leave the session. No progression, just mild observations on the wild fluctuations in the way that I behave. Hey doctor, I'm afraid. Can I be saved from myself in an early grave at my own hand? I'm a nomad with no bad qualities, but always feeling so sad. I feel pity for the world
and contempt for myself,
'cause I'm part of the problem
and I'm powerless to help.
I'm endorsing the doctrine
that in turn straps me down,
and I'm never at peace
unless a doctor is around.
I'm the independent thinker,
just starting on chapter one.
With my mind you could tinker,
try to find what makes me run.
If you crack apart my head,
you see the hamster in the wheel.
And I'm not trying to be funny,
but it's It's funny the way I feel.
I'm a walking malfunction. I cannot be repaired. I bared my soul to a stranger. In return, they sat and stared. I needed help with my problems. I thought you really cared. I bared my soul to a stranger. In return, they sat and stared. Then handed me a bill
for services rendered.
I wanted to get fixed, not see if I remembered how my childhood went.
Now my last dime spent.
Need a solution for my psyche, and they didn't make a dent.
You know, when you get to the point without really ever getting to the point,
you will not become dependent on this record. You can easily learn to apply these suggestions to yourself. I suggest that you try side two of this record.
Lots of top-notch baby scratching on that track, which tells you that I probably did the scratching. I'm pretty sure I did, because Tyler's a better scratcher than I am. And then that track, yeah. So I think what happened is we made that track for that compilation. I guess I wrote those two verses for some reason. And then I probably sent it off to that compilation, Grimy Grooves, and they put it out. And then when I listened to it, I was like, I hate my verse on that. So then I chopped it down to just Joe's verse. And I think that's what we put on Factory Seconds. I believe that's how it went. With good reason. I thought Joe sounded pretty good on that for the time. I think I sounded horrific. It's one of the worst verses that I've put out. Yeah, that was not good. That was not good. But anyway, that was kind of fun to listen to just once, and I won't be listening again. So that is the idea behind this episode, which was about High Arctics, a great 7-inch, and then that track from a compilation called Grimy Grooves. We have some pretty exciting things coming up in the near future. Next week, we're going to talk about an album called Billy's Vision, which is an instrumental album that I did. I was commissioned by an artist named Andrew Hunter in 99, I believe, to make a soundtrack to an exhibit he was opening in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So he asked me to make an instrumental piece, and I basically made some beats. I borrowed a Rhodes electric piano and had an electric bass, and so I did some, made some beats, played some beats, and made this really weird, disjointed instrumental record. It'll be interesting to listen to it because I haven't listened to it. It's not something that I'm feel super proud of. So it's going to be interesting to listen to it this week and then come back and think what I think about it after all these years. It's a kind of a funny thing because it came out in 99 originally, not on Peanuts and Corn, but as its own thing, a book and a CD that was put out by the author Andrew Hunter. And then once those sold out, Peanuts and Corn reissued it with a new book. The book is the same, but it's not like the original packaging. And that was more of an official Peanuts and Corn release. So it's the 23rd release on Peanuts and Corn Records, even though it came out originally probably just around the time of the Ethics EP or Fermented Reptile, like in 99-ish. So that's kind of interesting. It'll be fun to talk about that. And then the week after that, we've got a fun one. We've got Hip Hop Wieners, which is Pipsqueak and John Smith. A classic, classic record. Really, really fun record. It's going to be tough to narrow down what we actually play on that record. There's so many songs that are fun and fun to listen to. So the future is very bright. We've had High Arctics today. We've got Billy's Vision. Then we got Hip Hop Wieners. Then we have the Convenience EP, my EP from 2002. Then we've got Money Matters by Pipsqueak, the first 7-inch that we ever put out. Then we've got Druidry. Then we've got Factory Seconds. And we've got Blunderbuss. We're getting into the 2001 crazy classic stretch. So that's going to be really fun to talk about all that stuff, to listen to those songs, to figure out what songs to share with you and what songs to talk about. It's been really fun to do this podcast, and we are once again 35 episodes in. We've got 53 total. We're going to finish right around December 8th with the first album on Peanuts and Corn called the Space EP. So yes, good things. And then, you know, we've got also new music coming from Peanuts and Corn. For people who are listening to the end, shout out to you who listened to the final, who listened to the end of the podcast. We do have some exciting new music coming. We're recording and writing. I've actually been writing like crazy. I started an exercise where I write four bars, just write four bars, no pressure, put a beat on and write four bars and then just stop. And so some days I'll write two little four-bar chunks or three little four-bar chunks or just one. And then I have come back to those little started. I started about 20 or 25 verses that way. And I've been coming back to them, writing full songs. So I wrote a song. I'm writing a song for Yai's record. I wrote a full new song, a new Mac and Rose song, big Mac and Rose song. I wrote two songs with another rapper who I'm going to be excited to tell you about. A guest, someone who's never worked with Peanuts and Corn before. So that's the writing I've been doing. And then Danny Yai has been writing his record, which we're hopefully going to record in the next 30 days. And then John Smith, a.k.a. Bazooka Joe 204, has been writing his record, which I hope we're going to record in the next month. Plus, we've been working on some new stuff, collaborating together. It is a very, very exciting time coming up. So we have been talking about a lot of the old, but we do have some new stuff coming. And then next year, 2025, I think you're going to see a ton of new stuff because we won't be focusing so much of this energy on our 30th anniversary anymore. We will just be making cool new stuff. So thank you again for listening. My name is Big McEnroe. You can hear us on Mixcloud. We thank you for subscribing and liking. You can hear us on UMFM. Shout out to UMFM for airing this crazy experiment. Thank you again for listening. We will talk to you all very soon.
The Burt Block Party will be rocking downtown Winnipeg again this summer, featuring Blue Rodeo with Skydiggers, Arkells and guests July Talk, Headstones with I, Mother Earth, Tom Cochran with Street Heart and Sass Jordan, and so much more. Join the party downtown for the best outdoor concerts of the summer. Daily tickets and four-day passes on sale now at Ticketmaster. For more info, visit burtblockparty.ca.
Fort White Alive's acclaimed concert series, Moonlit Melodies, returns on Thursday, September 5th for another night of music magic set in the bucolic background of the city's wildlife preserve. Featuring performers Cassidy Mann and Slow Leaves, advance tickets are available now for $30 at fortwhite.org/moonlitmelodies. So get yours and support environmental education while sharing in a beautiful night of entertainment with Moonlit Melodies at Fort White Alive on Thursday, September 5th. Proudly supported by 101.5 UMFM.
Don't give me a sing-song message. That's what the guy sounds like. But don't play music and then in the middle of the song, tell me what station you got. I got on. That's not right. Smarten up if you go to university to get big education to screw up.
End of message.
Yep, these are our listeners, folks, and we love each and every last one of them. UMFM 101.5, Campus and Community Radio at the University of Manitoba.
Careful now, we didn't have time to insert the, so be advised, what you're about to hear contains material not suitable for all listeners.
This show may contain explicit lyrics. Listener discretion is advised.
What up, it's your boy DJ Slam, aka Live Arms, aka Gouda Fresh, aka the Gravitron Don, the man born with 1,000 air horns, coming in hot from Toronto. To give a shout out to DJ Denise and the Urban Renewal Project every single Tuesday from 10 till midnight on Vancouver's Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, celebrating your Canadian hip-hop and R&B artist on Vancouver's number one locally inspired hip-hop show. DJ Denise, hit him with a goddamn air horn.
What up, Vancouver? It's your man G-Wonder G-Wizzle, straight out Toronto, the 6, you see me? You're now listening to the Urban Renewal Project on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, Vancouver's number one hip-hop show. Every Tuesday from 10 p.m. to midnight, Pacific Standard Time. Shout out my homegirl DJ Denise. You already know what it is. You see me? Zin.
Now who will drop a jewel? That's cool. Plus take you to school. Well, it's the Urban Renewal Project, where they project what's best in the south of the north, plus all the way west, Vancouver and the surrounding area. Don't get perturbed in the birds. You know they're taking care of your blast. The broadcast shine a light so bright. The 10 to 12 is a delight every Tuesday night on 100.5, aka Co-op Radio. And it just don't stop. You rock on. You rock on.